Welcome to Journal Club for December 21st, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Let's say you're trying to train a binary classifier. As a reminder, a binary classifier is a model that looks at some kind of input and returns a Boolean, true, false, for some specific question about that input. This could work on images or text or audio or any other kind of input data. In order to train your classifier, you need to start with a bunch of labeled training data. For example, if you're training an image classifier that identifies stop signs, you'll need a whole bunch of photos with no stop signs and a whole bunch of photos with stop signs. And you need to label each one as being true or false for the existence of a stop sign. In gathering your training data, it's not uncommon for you to end up with a lopsided data set. For example, you have a whole bunch of negative data, photos with no stop sign, but only a smaller amount of positive data, photos with a stop sign. That's a problem, and it's going to make training a lot harder and make the results of your model less reliable. We call this kind of problem a class imbalance. What are your options here, and what can we do about that? Do you just chop the larger part down to meet the size of the smaller one? Back on December 9th, we looked at a paper that had this problem, but they just used a workaround to mitigate it. Their loss function included weights that were inversely proportional to class frequencies. In other words, each data point in the smaller class was just treated as more important than any data point in the larger class, to balance out the fact that there were way more data points of the latter. The question is that kind of hack really the best we can do in these kinds of situations? Is that the most elegant solution? The authors of today's paper say no, we can do better, by using a GAN, specifically an RGAN, a regularized generative adversarial network, to synthesize new training data for your smaller classes. The idea goes like this. You look at the class that's smaller and generate fake data based on it. Then you add the synthesized data to your existing training set and keep going until your positive class and negative class are the same size. And voila, now it's balanced and you can train your model on it. There is some precedent here. There are techniques called oversampling that do similar things, and we'll cover them at the end. But for now, just know that using a GAN for this is fairly novel. And it's a controversial idea, to be sure, but it's worth checking it out to see if it works, and that's what we're about to do. We're going to walk through what they built, how they built it, and the results they obtained. But first, we're going to take a few minutes to talk about GANs in general. How do they work? What's their history? And what are they used for today? Let's talk about Ian Goodfellow. You might not know his name, but you know his work. You know that canonical AI textbook that every college uses, Artificial Intelligence, A Modern Approach, by Russell and Norvig? Goodfellow wrote the deep learning chapter in that book. And you've probably seen that deep learning textbook with blue sky and purple flowers on the cover. He wrote that. He was a director of ML at Apple. He worked at Google Brain. He did a stint in OpenAI. I think now he's back at Google, but I could be wrong. Anyway, in 2014, he and a few colleagues at the University of Montreal published a paper called Generative Adversarial Networks. When people say the GAN paper, this is the paper they're talking about. A GAN is a type of machine learning model that is able to generate or synthesize new data that resembles its training data. It doesn't just take one piece of its training data and give it to you. It creates new data that was not actually part of its training, but that shares a number of similar characteristics with the data it saw during training. It does this by having two different core components, a generator and a discriminator. Think of the generator as the artist and the discriminator as the critic. The generator creates new things and tries to pass them off as being part of the original training set. The critic evaluates them, either saying, "No, I can tell this wouldn't have been in the training set," or, "Yes, this fooled me. It looks like the training data." The process of synthesizing data in a GAN can be thought of as a back and forth conversation between these two quote-unquote adversaries, thus the name adversarial network. Most of us did not hear about the publication of the GAN paper. Most of us didn't hear a word about GANs at all until 5 years later, when Philip Wang, a software engineer at Uber, created a site you've almost certainly heard of, thispersondoesnotexist.com. This site, which you can still visit today, just shows one face after another, and none of these people are real. They're generated using a GAN, specifically one of the GANs that was built on top of Ian Goodfellow's work. This site, which trended on Hacker News and got a lot of attention, made GANs a household name, at least in engineering households, that is. And since then, there has been a GAN explosion. Today, there are thousands of GANs that generate all kinds of things, from financial data to video games. GANs are everywhere. But it's important to note, before we move on, GANs are a form of generative AI. But not all generative AI models are GANs. There are diffusion models and transformer-based models and variational autoencoders and more. It's a big space. GANs are just part of it. In today's paper, the authors are proposing a system that uses a GAN to generate class data for the minority class when there's a class imbalance. The type of GAN they're using is called an RGAN. Here's how this particular type of GAN works. Remember, there's a generator and a discriminator. The generator creates synthetic samples for the minority class by leveraging spectral normalization to ensure stable training. Spectral normalization is a technique used to control the scale of a neural network's weights, ensuring stability during training. It works by dividing the weight matrix by its largest singular value, which effectively constrains the maximum output variations caused by the weights. By doing so, it prevents the generator from producing overly sharp or chaotic gradients, which can destabilize training and lead to issues like mode collapse. This stabilization allows the generator to focus on creating realistic, diverse samples. This GAN also uses a similarity measure loss to align the generated data with the real data's distribution. This means that the generator minimizes a specific loss function that compares features from real and generated data as extracted by the discriminator's hidden layers. This alignment encourages the synthetic data to closely mimic the statistical properties of the real data, which is crucial in ensuring that classifiers trained on this augmented data generalize effectively to real-world scenarios. The discriminator is enhanced with the CELU activation function and layer normalization. An activation function is a mathematical function in a neural network that transforms the weighted sum of a neuron's inputs into a specific output, introducing non-linearity to enable the network to model complex relationships and data. The CELU is an activation function designed to allow smoother gradients and improve learning, particularly for negative inputs. It works by applying an exponential transformation to negative values, which avoids quote-unquote dead neurons and ensures that all inputs contribute to learning. In this case, the CELU introduces smooth and continuous gradients, even for negative inputs, which helps the model learn more efficiently. Layer normalization standardizes the inputs to each layer of the discriminator, stabilizing the learning process across batches and improving convergence. Together, these features enable the discriminator to extract subtle, nonlinear patterns in the data, ensuring robust evaluation of the generator's output. They call this an RGAN, a regularized GAN, specifically because of all the features I just mentioned, the spectral normalization, the similarity measure loss, etc. Like most GANs, this one uses an alternating training process. First, the discriminator is trained to distinguish between real and generated samples, while the generator's parameters remain fixed. Then, the generator is trained to produce samples that the discriminator cannot easily distinguish from real ones, with the discriminator's parameters held constant during this phase. This back-and-forth process, this conversation I mentioned earlier, pushes both networks to improve their respective tasks over time. To demonstrate this new RGAN concept, the authors decided to focus on a financial dataset, which is a common source of imbalanced data because fraud and suspicious transactions are rare. Specifically, they use the Kaggle Credit Card Fraud Detection dataset, which contains anonymized transaction records from European credit card holders with a highly imbalanced distribution of 99.83% legitimate transactions and only 0.17% fraudulent ones. The goal of the RGAN was to generate synthetic samples for the minority class, that is, fraudulent transactions that closely resembled real fraudulent transactions in their statistical and feature properties. To evaluate the effectiveness of this approach, the authors tested the performance of several machine learning classifiers, for example, LightGBM, Random Forest, all trained on the dataset that the RGAN created. These classifiers were compared against models trained on datasets that had been balanced using traditional oversampling techniques. So now let's take a moment to review what those are and see how they're different from the GAN. There were four oversampling techniques tested. Random oversampling, ROS. This just duplicates minority class samples to balance the dataset. SMOTE, S-M-O-T-E. Synthetic minority oversampling technique. This generates synthetic samples for a minority class by interpolating between existing samples. ADISON, adaptive synthetic sampling. It's similar to SMOTE, but generates samples adaptively based on the difficulty of learning specific minority examples. And borderline SMOTE, a variation of SMOTE that focuses on generating synthetic samples near the decision boundary of the minority class. They also compared the RGAN to several other GAN variants. A standard GAN, a WGAN, which is a Wasserstein GAN. It uses the Wasserstein distance to improve training stability. A WGAN-GP, a WGAN with a gradient penalty, and a spectral normalization GAN. The evaluation metrics included accuracy, precision, recall, F1 score, and gene mean, focusing on how well the models could detect fraudulent transactions without being biased toward the majority class. The results showed that the RGAN performed competitively against the other options, but was not always the best performing model in every metric, meaning that the classifiers trained on the RGAN-produced dataset weren't always the best classifiers. Other GAN variants like WGAN-GP and the spectral normalization GAN also delivered strong performance, with WGAN-GP occasionally matching or exceeding RGAN in certain metrics. Additionally, traditional methods like borderline SMOTE demonstrated comparable results in some cases. So while RGAN did effectively address class imbalance and enhance classifier performance, it also faced some challenges. That's all great, and I'm glad their research was moderately successful, but you may well be wondering something. Why did this work at all? If the dataset was so heavily imbalanced that it couldn't be used to train a classifier effectively, why was that same dataset able to train a GAN which could then train a classifier? Why doesn't the GAN suffer when the dataset is imbalanced? Isn't the discriminator, the critic, within the GAN effectively a classifier? Why wouldn't an imbalanced dataset be a problem for it? Valid question. Let's tackle that. Although the dataset was too imbalanced to train a classifier effectively, it was still sufficient to train the GAN because of the fundamental differences in how GANs and classifiers use data. Classifiers are designed to predict class labels directly, and when trained on imbalanced datasets, they tend to prioritize the majority class because it dominates the training data. This leads to poor performance on the minority class, which lacks sufficient representation to influence the model's learning. In contrast, a GAN operates differently. The discriminator or critic within a GAN is indeed similar to a classifier in that it learns to distinguish between real and generated data, but it is not explicitly tasked with predicting class labels. Instead, its goal is to evaluate whether a given sample is real, as in from the training dataset, or synthetic, as in produced by the generator. As a result, the discriminator focuses on learning the features and patterns of the data it is exposed to, without being biased by the class imbalance. Because the GAN's generator produces samples that are progressively refined through feedback from the discriminator, even a small amount of minority class data can guide the generator to create realistic synthetic samples. Additionally, as I covered earlier, the RGAN in this study incorporated regularization techniques, which help stabilize training and ensure that the generated data closely align with the minority class distribution. So, what can we take away from this paper? Well, this approach is definitely still a hack, but it works, and it seems to work pretty well. Admittedly, it takes advantage of a weird quirk that GANs can be trained on imbalanced data. That's the whole thing. If you don't remember anything else from this paper, remember that. If your data is so imbalanced that you can't train a classifier on it effectively, send it through a GAN to balance it out, and it might just improve your results. It also might not, but it's worth a shot. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.